Aloha once again, everybody. It's Forrest with you here on the Ageless Path with my wonderful friend Lou Napolitano. Lou is a revolutionary, I call him. And Lou, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Great, great. You know, we've been sharing a couple of wonderful projects that you're up to, Lou, which I'd like to get to here in a moment. The Bridge of Hope, which I'm really drawn to, the notion of we can have a more unified future in our country and in ourselves if we can learn to be more skillful in our way we communicate with each other, and your Enzo project, which we'll talk about. But I just want to recount something real quickly. Had a long talk with a wonderful friend of mine last night, and he's longing to see a better dialogue, a better outcome for our country, and for that to be a productive, true value of his. It's very real, and he's sincere. But he says, you know what, wait a minute. I mean, I could do a podcast, but does the world really need somebody else trying to say, you know, there's a better way? And my immediate answer is, yes, the world does need that, each one of our voices. So, folks, when you meet Lou right now, it's because he's another guy that has a good voice about all this. Tell us about the Bridge of Hope and then the Enzo Project, too.
Okay, thank you for asking, Forrest. It's good to be here. And, you know, your opening statement is so right on, because what we're trying to do with the Bridge of Hope is to connect people who have been alienated from each other for so long during this COVID and political upheaval that we're experiencing now. And of course, people are either yelling and screaming at each other or just walking away from each other. And I don't feel that that is an adequate problem-solving technique for our country at this point.
And well, so, that was very delicately put. It's not an effective problem-solving method. Yeah.
It's just not going to work for the long haul. I mean, people may be able to sit down on Thanksgiving table and be able to get through it, but it's not going to be helpful for the long haul. So we got together through the YMCA, some people that were affiliated with that organization, and we partnered up with agency or organization called Essential Partners, who have gone into a lot of trouble spots in our country and even in the world. Mm. I think they're in 15 different countries now. Nice. And what they do is try to bring communities that are in conflict, like the Charlottesville shootings that occurred in Charlottesville. Wow. And they went into that community and got people communicating to each other about that. And it seemed to be helpful. A lot of people felt that that was a good way to get involved and reconnect with each other. And so we're going to do that here in Pierce and Kitsap County in the state of Washington. And we're going to bring in the Essential Partners. They're going to be training facilitators to actually hold meetings where we are inviting people of all different stripes and different ways of being and gender and political persuasion. And we're going to get in a room with those folks and try to expand on the communication involved with working with those people and see if maybe that might have an impact on our community.
Sweet, Lou, really good. And I think the goal and objective of that, one of the skills, I mentioned my friend Doug, I've known him for all these years as a organizational consultant, as an individual guy who's really good at facilitating a deeper conversation, creating trust, and even working with touchy issues. The cool thing about what you're describing, I believe, is that you'll bring facilitation to create an atmosphere where conversation can happen. Because absent any reflection, we talk about, you know, the habits of people who awaken in this world. One of those habits is, having my guard down enough trust where I can let in somebody else's truth without fighting it. And I'm guessing you're attracting folks that can help facilitate a conversation, not just, be referees in a fight.
Yes, exactly that. And it's not that we're going to convince each other that each other is wrong or right, but we're going to at least listen and try to understand where they're coming from and hopefully see where that takes us.
Nice. Really good. Really good. I have, it was very humbling years ago, but at age 48, when I walked into a Aikido dojo and a martial art very different than the boxing that I grew up with. See, my dad was a boxer. So I thought, well, boxing, you walk into the ring and you dominate and you beat the other guy down. It's a win-lose game. And Aikido gives a chance to not put your fists up, and you create they're so surprised because it looks like you're going to have a fight, but you don't raise your fists. And I just think, frankly, I had a wake-up call this morning in my mind when I realized how many names, derogatory names, I call the other guys.
Yes, yes.
Now, I judge them to be wrong and bad because they use demeaning names against people they don't agree with. And I go, whoa, no, wait a minute. I'm doing the same thing.
Yes.
So
yes.
How do we awaken enough to drop our fists, drop our old patterns of scarcity and fear and animosity? So how can that happen? And I think part of the kindness we bring, the openness we bring, will send a message to the other, and some people will open up too.
Yeah, yeah. And the amazing thing about that that you're speaking about now, it's not only the people who believe opposite what I believe, it's also the people who believe basically what I believe, but even more strongly. And those, that's where the polarization comes in, is the extreme beliefs and communication that's happening on both sides. And that's what we've got to take a look at.
Boy, interesting. And even professionally as a real estate guy, I find, and I often say, isn't it strange? Some people, buyers and sellers, they take the purchase and sale of a home like it's a fight to the death. And they start to believe that the other side is their enemy. And
yes.
It's like, oh God, well, I mean, isn't it the same thing? If I'm touched by a sense of fear, but don't call it that, I say, I'm being threatened. Those guys are doing it. It's going to mess up my life. Then I'll fight or flight. I'm not thinking anymore. I'm attacking.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's true. And you mentioned Aikido, and we have a mutual friend in Hawaii named Merlin, who is very much into that. And I have had the pleasure of spending some time with him and with my brother-in-law, Madani, and we have just enjoyed so many Aikido stories from him that are examples of what you just mentioned.
That's great, Lou. Well, that's fabulous. Well, you told me something that I thought was, I hope you don't mind me mentioning. You said that you and a couple of other guys got together and you said, wait a minute, let's do something here and let's call it the Bridge of Hope. And because we want to see a hopeful future. And part of the goal was to add some diversity. I mean, you're a group of basically white men.
Yeah.
And as you put the word out there, what did you get? You got two more white guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually wanted diversity. It was our goal. But because it was nobody on the team really knew people of color or minorities or gender specific people. And so we got what we knew, which was more white people. So that was a great enlightenment for our project, because now we see firsthand how limiting our lifestyles have been and how much we really need to expand and explore and just be part of the diversity that is in our community.
Well, that's really strong, and that speaks to me too. And to not fall into, I think, a trap, which is to say, gee, we're a bunch of white guys because we know each other, and somehow we're a little bit bad because we don't have people of color in the circle, or something that we're doing wrong, or we're not being caring enough. Now, let's not go there. Let's just invite the kind of diversity that might help us grow and learn better, huh?
Yes. And in the process of reaching out and trying to achieve our goals, we're going to connect. I just have to believe that we're going to be connecting with more people of diversity in our community as part of the process.
Nice, Lou. Well, such a good initiative. You know, we're recently moved from Hawaii, where as a white guy, pretty much we're in the minority. Now, we still have our own balance as, kind of assertive people or whatever we think that whole thing is. But in the town of Waimea near us, there was maybe one or two black guys in the whole community. And one of them is a fellow named Fred. I love this guy. Mm-hmm. And I had been through the Mankind Project. We had done a diversity kind of training. And I saw Fred in town and I said, Fred, can I ask you a question, man? How does it feel to be one of the only black guys in this community? How does that work in for you? He says, Forrest, thank you for asking me that, man. Brother, that's such a cool question. You know what? It's okay, and I found my way, but the people who really are nice to me are the local Hawaiians. And there's a cultural alignment somehow, or a life experience alignment, and we had the nicest talk. Now, I think it brought us much closer because there was a level of truth, and it took courage on my part to just carefully bring up the subject. So I can imagine that for you guys at Bridge of Hope, it might be a new set of skills as to how to develop that bigger circle.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
So,
you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because in my high school graduating class of seniors, we had about 150 or so students, and we had one person of color, and he was a Jamaican exchange student.
Okay, got
it. That's it. So I come from such a white dominated culture, and I didn't really realize that. I mean, it didn't seem to impact me until I really got this Bridge of Hope thing going.
Wonderful. Well, good for you. That's great. Well, what would the next step be if I could be of support to what your guys are doing, and if others can tune in and understand more? Did I understand you were coming up with kind of a mission statement or a summary of the project's goals?
Yes, we were working on that, and we have a one pager that's about ready to go out. So I think this podcast in and of itself is going to be very helpful, Forrest, and I appreciate you helping to get the word out.
Good, Lou. I'm delighted. Well, and what will result from this, if it's helpful, will be a video of our conversation, as well as a high quality audio that can be shared widely and in any way that would be helpful.
Excellent.
You know, and in our circle of people around the Puget Sound, around Seattle, you've been here longer than me, but there really are people that are so good-hearted, and it's real. And yeah. I think the good news is it's a receptive community for innovating, or I should say leading the way toward a more balanced a feel to our culture and how to move forward.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for that. It's been a godsend to be able to promote these types of ideas and have people pick up on them and be a part of this whole process. It's been excellent.
So with Braver Angels doing their part, all these other organizations trying to bridge, does the world really need one more Bridge to Hope, Bridge of Hope? The answer is yes, we do.
Yes, one more. And you spoke of Braver Angels, and we've connected with them as well. And our representative, Kilmer, is taking this information, and he met with us in person. It's the only in-person meeting I've had in 2 years.
Oh, boy.
With Derek Kilmer. And he is taking this information along with Braver Angels and trying to promote it in the U.S. Congress as we speak. It's happening, and on many levels.
You know what? Let me support that really strongly, because, again, I've heard a voice or two that goes something like this. Oh, forget about finding, enlightened people in Congress or in government. They're all corrupt. They've just sold their soul to get reelected. Don't expect any good supportive, positive progress from people in government. And I go, you know what? No, I'm not going there. And if we call people to their highest self, and that would be the goal of the Ageless Path and all the things I'm doing in my world, my goal is to call on my highest self, your highest, that we call on people to step up to a sense of their better angels, their better self.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what we did. And Derek Kilmer was willing to meet with us in person with his staff. And we sat down and we talked about our goals and what we wanted to do as an organization. And he shared with us some of the things that he's working on in Congress. So it was a really beneficial meeting.
I'm delightful. I'm delightful and I'm delighted. I'm both. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. I'd like to believe, and this is maybe naive, that when called on to shared interests, what do we really want for our kids? What do we want for our culture to be a place where we can thrive and have freedom and have, you know, safety and have our kids get an education, be self-reliant? Well, gee, of course, we all agree on that. Mm-hmm. So what are we fighting about, right? The skill of calling in shared values, I think, is a very advanced one. And you shared an article that has to do with the 7 habits of people who awaken, and I thought those were really pertinent. I've got that article handy if we wanted to reference it. It's pretty cool.
Well, I reviewed that information, that article, with my brother-in-law, and we sat down and really got into it. And it had a it comes from Spirituality and Health magazine, and it's a very good article. And it had a personal impact on me because back in spring of 2020, I began to experience some symptoms of what I would call pre-dementia.
Oh my.
I couldn't keep a thought in my head, and I couldn't interact with people. I was just having a whole lot of cognitive difficulties. And I thought, oh my God, is this really something that's happening prematurely that I need to, you know, worry about? And of course, I was worried about it. I sought out medical assistance, of course, and took a lot of tests. The bottom line was that I guess 70-year-old kidneys don't process the same way as younger kidneys do. And I was retaining some of my medication that I needed to get rid of. I kept taking more medication. So I was kind of getting some kind of toxicity there. Oh. And so we revamped the meds and I came out of it within a couple of months, but I couldn't even play a card game I had played with my family for 20 years.
Oh my.
I didn't know what card to play. That's kind of the way it worked out. So I was very grateful. And after that, I really felt like I experienced an awakening. And I got involved in the Bridge of Hope, and also have a part-time job doing person-centered planning for a local agency that's really doing good work in the area called Enzo. And so I've really had a good experience coming out of that problem that occurred. And so Madani and I, we talked about awakenings, and he had his story to share too. And I imagine you do too, Forrest.
Oh boy, I hope I awaken. And you know, I hope we all can get over the meds of negative press and negative treatment of each other. The article that you referred to talks about some really wonderful principles that are recommended about being a people who have an inquiring mind, express gratitude, and really do that for real, and seek to benefit others, give of themselves, be mindful, maybe explore meditation, and become optimistic and stay optimistic, even including in the chaotic world. How do you help people in the Enzo Project? Tell me more about that. I think that's a helping a pastime and a helping track for you.
Yes, well, I'd be glad to. Thank you for asking. So Enzo is a community-based rehabilitation program, works with clients with developmental disabilities for the most part. And my role with them at this point is as a person-centered plan facilitator.
Okay.
And basically, person-centered planning is something that is being done in a lot of areas of life. The medical profession calls it person-centered patient care. They do it in nursing homes with the elderly. They do it in substance abuse things. And basically, all the idea is that the focus be on the individual instead of the systems that have been created to help people in general, basically. And there's nothing really wrong with those systems, but the problem is that they try to stick the person into the system rather than the other way around. And so what we do is focus on the individual. We have a plan process that we use to do that, and we come up with goals and follow up and get the client's support system engaged with that person who is saying, I want these things and I don't need those other things that system wants to give me. I want to go here. And we follow with that lead.
Boy, that's incredible. And to me, while it makes intuitive sense that of course that would be the way it would go, that person-centered focus of medical care or a track to better mental health and those kind of things. Yet in the world, the massive world of a growing population and healthcare being this monstrous, giant, mega corporation business, it'd be pretty easy to say, I'm sorry, Mr. Napolitano, our standard says no, you can't have the meds, and yeah, we're going to deny care. Thanks for that, right? The sense of cynicism that we might have about it all, I
Or
think.
the or I would call it a kind of a enlightenment that they think that they know better than the individual.
Oh, nice.
And and this is not true at all. And so we've got to learn to focus on the person first and then see if that individual is talking about certain services they require. Okay, let's look into it. But we start with the person.
Nice, nice, nice. That's so good. It's funny, and that tickles my fancy. I'm working both as a realtor, but also what I'm presuming to call myself a longevity guide. And what do I mean when I say longevity real estate? Many people would love to have their older years be in the same home where they are. So aging in place. Well, there's a whole technology of designing a home so it's safe for them to do that. But having a conversation go way more person-centered real estate, Lou, this is what I'm getting inspired with, is to say, you know what, maybe the community where we are, I can focus more on having more friends, more a sense of purpose in my life, because I've got great volunteer things I can do. And thanks for helping me connect to those. And gee, I feel more healthy and my vitality is coming up. I'm getting smarter about my nutrition. And I'm not presuming to be a doctor or all that, but I help guide people to resources that might help them feel more alive. And being person-centered, there's magic in that about this whole bridge of hope. That's a bigger metaphor than just how we talk to each other. Yeah, nice, nice. Well, and let me mention too, on a prior podcast, we spoke with Denise Hughes. She's a wonderful geriatric mental health professional, I think is the term. And she works primarily with people that have dementia and family members struggling with a loved one with dementia. And she says, now let's really be careful. There's a normal cognitive shift that happens with aging. So, however, if I'm scared, I'm starting to, forget where my keys are. If I start getting confused and fearful, it feels like it's getting worse when it actually may or may not be actual dementia or some kind of a slip. Well, these are educational things and it gives me hope because sometimes I feel a little nuts. So.
Well, first, we talked about what the YMCA is doing with the virtual programming and the Y Third Cafe is what they call it. And we talk about things like that in that when we meet on Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock, we talk about how to cope with a certain amount of panic that comes from that issue of being unable to remember a certain thing, or have something happen that you have no idea what it occurred and how it occurred. And so we are trying to work with people on their third of their lives and help them with a number of programs like what you mentioned.
Nice. I love that metaphor. I heard a guy years ago did a project called The Last Quarter. And okay. And you know, that's like a football metaphor, but there's even something hopeful about saying the last third. And how long are we going to live? 90 years old, maybe? So maybe the last 30 years of life are about life changes we might make, where we live happier, live more loving, live more vital. And that starts younger. I think I told you, I had this young guy on a call with me. He said, "Forrest, I'm 39 years old and I found some gray hairs. I realize I'm getting older." Yeah. And I thought, kid, yeah. So, but the feelings and the complexity of how it is to age, somebody was smart when they said, "Oh, really? Well, those of us now, we get past a whole career, 30 years in a career, whatever. We hit 65, 70, whatever years old. We may have ourselves another 20 or 30 years. We're like explorers in a world that nobody ever lived in before. Longevity was not this long before. So how do we live the post-career years by continuing to work, continuing to volunteer, to be depressed and take pills? What are we going to do with ourselves?" So I think this is pioneering work, and they talk about folks who are explorers in a new land where they have, you know, the opportunity to have productive, joyful years later in their life.
Yes. And I believe that you and these podcasts have been very helpful in distributing information about that, and is helpful to people. Helpful information like this is important to us, especially in our third.
Nice, Lou. Well, I'm glad to learn more about the work that you're doing, and you bring a kind of sweetheartedness to the whole thing. There's something, I think, magical when men particularly can show kindness and just be calm enough and brave enough to show calm kindness. And there's a kind of medicine that comes to people when it's not a controlling father or a mean-spirited, you know, control trip. That, again, that's part of my commitment in life, to come from that place whenever I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, and is there a way that folks can get to know more about Bridge of Hope, or about the third? Those are both things. Are people invited to join those?
Yes,
those events?
They are. They are. And how about I'll share you with some linking information, and maybe you can include it somehow?
I sure can. You both. I'll include it in the podcast description.
Okay.
Hey.
Thank you.
Folks, I'm with Lou Napolitano, a wonderful chap. And Lou, thank you for the place you are in my life as we become better and better friends. And thanks for good work that you're doing.
Thank you, Forrest. It's been very helpful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Good. Aloha for now, then.